I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitation.
Well, hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We are your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, the promoter-producer of the Rota Psychic Fair. Now, Rota Psychic Fair has been a constant in Monterey County for the past 34 years. Our last fair was October 21st and 22nd, and our next event is October 13th and 14th of 2018 at the Monterey County Fairgrounds. So I encourage you to sign up for the email list for the rotapsychicfair.com and goodvibrationsradio.com so you can be notified about upcoming events. In addition, we have our next quarterly preview at the Monterey Elks Lodge on March 30th, the last Friday in March. So get informed about what you can expect in the months of April, May, and June at the quarterly preview. You know, last week, Joyce Muse brought us up to date on the celestial phenomenon and the movement of the planets for February and March. And this is a time of change. Everything is up for review. If you missed any part of that broadcast, you may visit the podcast page of Good Vibrations Radio. The link is on the homepage of goodvibrationsradio.com. So before we get into the show, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm a speaker, a performer, a reader, a healer, a radio host, and an author. And I've been a part of the metaphysical community all my life, and along the way, I've completed a series of formal studies. This show shares a variety of metaphysical topics and a variety of different guests and segment hosts. For those who listen regularly, you know I like to start each show with a reading from Day by Day with James Allen. Now, in 1903, James Allen published his essay, As a Man Thinketh. He took the title from chapter 23, verse 7 of Proverbs, which says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." This essay was described by Allen as a book that will help you help yourself. He wanted all of us to know that in your own thought world, you hold the key to every condition, good or bad, that enters into your life. Your present reality is a direct outcome of your past thoughts, intentions, beliefs, coupled with your action. But your future is not predestined by your past. By working patiently and intelligently on your thoughts, intentions, and beliefs, you can remake your life and transform your circumstances. In Day by Day with James Allen, his essay has been broken into a separate section for each day of the month. And for the 26th day of the month, James Allen shares that persistence grows your root system. The person of good and lawful person purpose cannot fail. It only needs that he daily renew the fire and energy of his fixed resolve to consummate his resolve. This is clearly working on your thoughts, beliefs, and intentions. Shift how you view things, shift how you see things, and you too can reframe your root system by shifting your resolve. Persistence grows your root system. Now, I've shared many times that I have a series of prayers and affirmations I use each day to help me focus on the positive and try to stay out of that mental state, of that negative thought, that awfulism, that victim mentality. So I do a morning and evening series of forgiveness prayers. I do a gratitude affirmation. I do Ho'oponopono. And I do unconditional love affirmations. And in addition, I collect a positive thought from the daily word produced by the Unity School of Christianity. Now, the daily word for Monday, February 26, says, I find joy in being my true self. Could there ever be a better mantra for us as we go into the month of March, the month of self-love, the month of self-truth, rather, of the truth of your spiritual self, of your soul, of who you truly are, than to say, I find joy in being my true self? You know, Dr. Seuss said, today you are you. That is truer than true. There is no one alive that is youer than you. So the mantra going forward for the end of these last few days of February, going into that month of March of self-truth, is find joy in being your true self. Persistence grows your root system, and spend your time being the best you that you can be. And that brings us to our guest for today. Dr. Catherine Bell has lived in her dream world since she was a little girl. Many of her childhood dreams are still meaningful to her. Originally an astrophysicist by training, she attended the University of California, Santa Cruz for her graduate studies and received her PhD in 1993. Following her PhD, she worked for NASA for 11 years, studying the formation of stars and planets. Not long after that, she developed her interest in dream work. In 2009, she felt she came home when, after almost 20 years of study, she found the Students of the Dream Dream Work. She hosts a yearly Dream Work intensive in Santa Cruz, and this year's Festival of Dreams is Sunday, March 11th, at the Loudon Nelson Community Center in Santa Cruz. Now, to tell us more about experiential dream work and the Festival of Dreams, let's welcome Dr. Catherine Bell to Good Vibrations Radio. Catherine, welcome, and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Salazar. It is a supreme pleasure to be with you again.
So did I say anything wrong or anything that needs correction in that little intro to you?
Oh, it sounded right to me. It's been a journey for me to come home again, and that I was interested in dreams as a child, and spent a lot of time studying science and kind of developing that part of my mind to do the science, numerical calculations, and in astrophysics, and it was just never that satisfying to me. And so when I had the opportunity to explore what was really meaningful to me, I came home to my dreams, and I found that they were there waiting for me, bigger and better than ever.
Now, my understanding is, which is a very minimal understanding, I'll qualify that for the listeners, but my understanding is that the dream work that you do, experiential dream work, is not necessarily about understanding all the symbology of the dream, but more about how I feel about it or how it feels to me. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's the core of the way I work with dreams, having to do with feelings. And I guess, since I am still a scientist by training, I will say that I've discovered that there's been a lot of research into dreams showing that when we are sleeping, and when we are dreaming in particular, the parts of our brain that are the most active are the very deepest parts, the amygdala, the hippocampus, the parts of our brain related to feelings and also related to our personal histories. Whereas when we're awake, the most active parts of our brain are the prefrontal cortex, which is where we make decisions and we make judgments and we decide what to do. So the dreaming really taps into this very deep feeling part of who we are. And I have found it to be a very powerful thing in dream work to find out the moments of the dream where there's some kind of a feeling. And a lot of times the feeling doesn't even match the situation, and that could be extremely important information. If the feeling doesn't match what's really happening in the dream, then there may be a disconnect in the dreamer between their deepest feelings and what they've decided they should be in life. So the dream work can really heal that break, so start to bring you more in touch with your deeper needs and feelings, so that can create a much more congruent and satisfying experience of life.
Now, if I recall, and is that even Freud had started with some dream work and Carl Jung had done dream work, but it was more Jung who brought in this whole idea of symbology. And what I believe you're sharing is that the symbology is not as important for us as that overall feeling. So when people spend a lot of time of saying, what's the black bear mean in my dream? It's more of, how do I feel when the black bear appears? Am I elated?
Right.
Am I afraid? Go ahead, please.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say that it has a lot to do with the dreamer's personal association with the black bear, so that the feeling that arises has to do with this image, which could be an archetypal image, but the dreamer's personal experience of that image is what's important. I mean, have they actually met a black bear? I mean, some people have had these experiences. What is their experience of black bear in mythology and in stories that people tell? So it's sort of the personal myth that's the most important to the symbols. There are some things that are in common. Like if I looked up, you know, black bear in a dream on a Google dictionary, I would find something about the cultural myth and what is the overall cultural story about what a black bear is. And there may be some element of that in the dream person who dreams about a black bear, but the more important thing is what is their experience with a dream. Somebody from a different culture might have a different association with that black bear.
So what I believe I'm getting from what you're sharing is that, of course, and I'm taking your words and maybe rephrasing them differently, is that there is still a symbology and a mythology, but it's my personal symbology.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's
yes.
What's my relation to that black bear? And if I look it up and I read on the Google, then based on what I read, do I have a reaction to something? Does that sound like that has meaning to me when I hear about this cultural reference to a black bear? And that may then apply to my dream. But we need to kind of back away from the idea that, you know, every time there's a black bear or every time there's a pot of gold, this is what it means versus what does it mean to the dreamer, not
right.
to everyone else.
Yes, absolutely. So this becomes like a personal mythology. You could imagine that if a snake appears in the dream, it might mean something very particular to someone who grew up with a father who was a snake handler that would be different from the rest of people in that culture.
Yeah, and I think that that's a quantum leap over the understanding of the symbology of dreams as it's been, let's say, normalized in regular culture for years and years and years. It's
mm-hmm.
It's quite a significant one. What I particularly like when you express that and you're explaining that is that every one of us, speaking toward your scientist side, and I'm not a scientist, so I'm going to botch this a little bit, but every one of us is our own individual Petri dish.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible to say what happens each time you add that particular element to our Petri dish, because we're already comprised of different elements within us, different experiences, different cultural references, different understandings. And so
I think that's a lovely way to describe it, Solazar. And there's, I like even the analogy of the Petri dish is powerful, because there is the chance for alchemy. There's a chance that things can really change, and that the dream feelings are often a clue to what kind of change is happening in the dreamer, or what kind of an invitation to change is starting to happen. So we can get in there and sort of pry the door open. If we see the doors opening a little bit, then as a dream worker, I can get in there and slow the moment of the dream down and say, well, what was it really like to be there standing in front of the bear? And like, just slow it down and stand there for a minute, take a breath, and what does that feel like? So that moment can be deepened, and that really kind of turns up the heat on the Petri dish, so that whatever alchemy is happening gets accelerated.
Mm. Yeah, that's now, here's the thing that I think kind of goes with all of us, is that most often, as we know, we run from pain and we run toward pleasure when the pressure is strong enough for either way. But how important is it on a daily basis, on a regular basis, for people to understand the nature of their dreams? Because I would imagine there's a qualifier here. I would imagine most often clients show up on your doorstep when they feel like they're going through something traumatic and they want to know, what's hidden in my dream? What's it telling me?
Mm-hmm.
So how important is it for us to try to understand daily about our regular evening dreams without the trauma?
Well, I would say that that we don't remember all the dreams that we have by any means. I'm a pretty high dream recaller, but I write down 3 or 4 dreams a week. But really, I'm having 3 or 4 dreams a night, if not 5 or 6 dreams a night. So we definitely don't remember all the dreams that we have. However, whatever dream is happening is something that can be worked with to accelerate where we're at. Now, if we're in a crisis and we're in a situation where, we're changing a relationship or working through some trauma, then the dreams may be more urgent and there may be more of a scary dream quality to them. Like, I kind of hesitate over the word nightmare, but there's a way that the dreams get more insistent when we're in trauma or when things are upsetting. However, I find that that working dreams on a regular basis has really helped me keep moving forward in a personal way, that even when I'm not in crisis, the dreams then can deal with more tender issues and more subtle issues and issues that can often involve invitations to feeling loved. For me, one of the most profound experiences I've learned through my dream work is that I am truly loved. I just feel like I'm loved and supported in this world, and I could not even tell you who it is that loves me, but there's something that I feel like I'm welcome here on this earth in a way that I never did before I do this dream work. I was quite miserable for many years and just convinced that life was pointless and I could just, suffer through and do what I had to do, but there was no joy in it for me. But then after working with my dreams, I started to find these characters that would welcome me and they would love me. And I found that I ran just as fast from those characters who wanted to love me as from the ones who apparently wanted to kill me. So it can be just as scary to open up to our joy as it is to reveal some kind of old trauma that we haven't healed yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that we can work on in a situation when we're not in crisis is that we can really start to feel that we're loved. And that, so, yes, we're not in crisis, but we can also start to have some joy and some delight in life. And that's what an incredible gift.
Yeah, that's not to have it overused it, but that certainly is profound to share that. Thank you for that. I think in both of the elements you shared there, between the love and the fear, well, either way, we're still offering up. It's always an element of vulnerability. We always run from an element of vulnerability where we feel physically, emotionally, or even spiritually vulnerable. And I think opening up to that feeling of being loved is really, it's a vulnerable place to be. So, but thank you for sharing that. I think that's wonderful for people to hear.
It takes a lot of surrender to be able to feel loved instead of like, I got it, I can do this, I am in control, I don't need any help. I mean, I was very good at that, of being in control and being in charge and managing things. And it was very vulnerable for me to surrender and say, can I be like a child? Is it okay that I can just be loved for who I am, not for what I do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it is quite a gift to have that feeling. And I go through a whole roller coaster of emotions, but I somehow now, I just knowing that I'm loved and that I have this way of surrendering into the world, I know it'll pass, and so I don't freak out when I get really anxious. I call up a friend or I go to some dream images and then I just take some breaths and go, okay, woohoo. Like preparing for this festival has been quite a scare. I never know if there's going to be anybody there, and about 4 or 5 days ago I had this sort of panic, like, oh no, nobody's going to show up to the festival. And And I just kind of took some breaths, and I like knew, okay, here's the roller coaster, and called my friend, and she's like, you know, we'll just see. And then since then, we've had 10, 12, 13 ticket purchases on the webpage. So I'm like, okay, we're starting to roll along here. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I could imagine that's all kind of scary. Now, last time we spoke, which is a little over a year ago, mm-hmm. that at that time you were doing dream work groups also for people who couldn't do private sessions, but maybe wanted to come to a group setting that would cost less. Do
yep.
you still do that for people who may want to,
yep.
explore some dreams?
I do, and the group container is actually a really beautiful way to work dreams. There's the support of the other people there, and there's the witnessing of each other. When you see other people going through their difficult moments, then you can have compassion for yourself too in your difficult moments, so that you start to see that we're all human and that we all struggle with things, and we can offer a point of view that the dreamer might not actually see in their own. That's one of the powers of sharing dreams, is to get another perspective. So I do offer groups. I have an ongoing group on Tuesday nights, every other Tuesday in Santa Cruz, and I have another group going as well, and I might start up another group. If there's enough demand, I could definitely do another group. It's a really wonderful way to work with dreams, and it's actually very traditional. Like in some of the Native American traditional ceremonies, they would share dreams in a group. And you don't need to even analyze a dream to share it. It can be just powerful just to speak the dream and say the dream and have it heard.
Yeah, that's, I think, important for people to know. Though I have to admit, with my perverted, demented mind, I was getting this image of dream groups and people standing up, like I would stand up and say, "Hi, I'm Solazar and I'm a dreamer," and, and people would say, "Hello, Solazar." It's been
yeah. The 12 steps is it can be part of dream. I'm a dreamer. If it's an addiction, that's I'm up there for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
I actually have a colleague who specializes in 12 step work and dream work, and that there's a lot in common there. And the surrender to a higher power is something that's definitely in common with the dream work and 12-step work. So it's not so crazy as you would say.
But so when you say surrender to a higher power in dream work,
yeah.
what do you mean by that? Is that really just more of a release of the need to know, or what is that?
Well, you know, it's different for each person. I guess I'm glad that you asked, Solazar, because I'm sharing what my particular journey is, but not everybody that I work with has that kind of experience. Like for me, there's a sense that there's something, I hate to say force, but there's something outside of myself that is in relationship with me, and that I can surrender to that something, the divine, if you like, and that nourishes me. But not everybody sees it that way. Some people say that it's their inner self or it's their soul that they're surrendering to.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find it is fairly common that as you advance in the dream work that you find the terror and also the joy of surrendering. And, you know, what you're surrendering to, you might give different words to. But there is a certain sense of surrendering over the control of your life, of the every little thing in your life that you have to control. Like we have this story that, like, if I don't get this thing that I really want, then there's no point in life. But if we can like let go of some of that intensity, then life goes more smoothly, and then we can use that intensity in more meaningful kind of soul level ways. Like, I mean, talk about surrender. It seems kind of funny for me to talk about that, and yet I've created this Festival of Dreams, which is a huge undertaking. I've been meeting with my team of five people every other week since last February, since our last festival. So we've been putting in a huge amount of work. Just last week, I probably put in almost 50 hours of work developing
goodness.
The web page and all this. And so does that look like surrender? I mean, in a weird way, it is surrender for me. And yet it's a huge amount of passion. I kind of surrendering to my excitement and my leadership and my joy, like to share all the incredible a benefit that I've gotten out of this dream work. And the people on my team feel the same way. They're incredibly passionate people. They're all interested in their dreams, and we use very different techniques. So I'm not pushing one particular technique. The festival is going to offer a smorgasbord of different ways of working with dreams. So it's interesting to call it surrender, because it's almost like, you know, surrendering to a horse. Like, I'm riding this wild horse, but I don't have a bridle. I don't have reins. I don't even have a saddle, really. But I'm just following this horse of like, let's put on the Dream Festival. Yeah. And it's a huge commitment of time and energy and resources. So, and yet, it feels like surrender. Like, every step of the way, I'm leading in a whole different way than I've ever led before. Always checking with my team members, is this something you want to do? Like, who wants to do this part of that needs to get done? And if nobody wants to do it, maybe we won't do it. I will find another way. I'm not, like, controlling people and saying, oh, you do that, and then you do this. And there's a whole different way of just saying, like, let's do this together. Who wants to? This will be great. And we're having a lot of fun with it, but it's a tremendous amount of work.
Yeah, we want to let people know that they can go to festivalofdreams.net, festivalofdreams.net, to get tickets, find out more about the festival, what's going on, the presentations that will be going on, as well as scheduling consultations during, I'm assuming that's during the event, those consultations.
During the event. That's actually an extremely popular part of the festival. We did last year. People just loved it. We have, this year we have 10 practitioners signed up, and we're each going to give two or three consultations. And when you show up at the festival, you get to sign up to work with one of those practitioners for 30 minutes. So bring your own dreams, bring some personal dreams that you have, whether they're recent or old, it doesn't matter, as long as they're meaningful to you. And then you'll have 30 minutes for a private session with this practitioner. Now, if you don't want to do it during that festival, because there's a lot going on, and so you might prefer to do it later, we're also able to see people later to sign up for what we call a rain check, so that you can have your free 30-minute consultation with one of the practitioners at a later date. But they're available at the festival or else afterwards, because it's just to give you a little taste of what your dreams can offer to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess that's part of the passion, I guess, you bring to even wanting this event is, and this may be where your understanding of being loved is, you're probably right now in absolute alignment with your service in the world.
Mm.
No matter what else your journey has taken up to this point, you've really come in pure alignment, because last time we spoke, when you were doing your festival last year, that it was really about you wanted to get this information to people so they could understand the impact and the power it could have on their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And that, seems to me, is what you're trying to do by bringing this festival back.
Yes. It's something that I can't even explain, but I have seen how transformative dream work can be. Certainly in my life, it has been extremely powerful. And I just want to bring this to as many people as possible. I know that dreams are something that, well, we all dream, and many people wake up and they're very curious about their dreams. You know, I've been reading a lot of science about dreams lately, and they have done studies showing that dreaming, as well as enhances a lot of creativity in people's lives. There's been books based on dreams, inventions based on dreams, songs. It also helps us solve moral, ethical, and emotional problems in particular, so that we actually have this little therapist inside of us who is mulling over the problems that are dilemmas for us in our waking life. And as we dream and as this brain activity happens at these really deep levels of our brain, then we're actually starting to sort out and find creative solutions to issues in our life. And by working with the dreams in waking life, by working consciously, we can really enhance that process and also start to build bridges between the waking life part of our brain and the deeper, more instinctive and kind of intuitive parts of our brain, so that we actually have build this neural connection between these two parts of our brain, or the many parts of our brain. So it's really been scientifically verified that this is like therapy that we have every night automatically. So why not enhance it?
Now, has the dream work community expanded since you've been doing this up in the Santa Cruz area? Have you expanded up there locally, or?
Yeah, I have a pretty extensive email list, and it's growing all the time. And the people who are on my my dream team of the the committee, planning committee, has really expanded my knowledge of people in the area. And I've been meeting all the different therapists in town who work with dreams. Since not all therapists do work with dreams, but anybody who's interested in dreams always catches my attention. And so the circle of people here who are interested in dreams has definitely increased. And I think just by talking about the dreams, and then people like sort of bring it to their awareness more. Like when they wake up, instead of hopping up and getting a cup of coffee, if you just spend a few minutes in bed and write it down, or I actually dictate into my phone what the dream was, and just take a minute to do that, then that really enhances that healing aspect. And it also increases your own curiosity. So just by talking about dreams and listening to dreams, we're really enhancing the curiosity about this innate healing process. And I think that's really helping people to become healthier, happier people. And I'm sure that this spreads out into the community.
Now, when you as I said in the introduction, you had an interest in dreams from when you were very young.
Yeah.
And what I would imagine, I'm making kind of a statement question here, which is I deal with that a lot, as you noticed. But
yeah.
What I would imagine that you had, because of your even before your scientific training, that you had more of a linear approach to it, that you tended to look at it in a sense of, I need to understand XYZ, XYZ, XYZ. And it was only when you got into the students of the dream work issue, it became more about the feelings. But how do you feel that that has shifted your understanding of dreams and shifted how you want people to understand dreams versus what we talked about earlier, this absolute symbology representation versus this feeling?
Well, I have found that it is incredibly powerful to work with people on a feeling level, that like just going into that moment and like we were talking about standing and facing the bear, that if that by going back into the moment of just feeling what comes up for you as you face the bear, that can bring up some profound memories in people very often, or even it just may bring up profound feelings. And that is the work of the dream. I think you can look up online and get the symbology of the bear, but that doesn't really create a profound feeling or a shift. That's kind of working still in the waking mind, which is the prefrontal cortex. So if you stay in the waking mind, then you might start to have some revelations. We call those ahas. You might have an aha about something based on a thought or a story. But to be really transformative, it's helpful to really connect to a feeling, or sometimes it turns out to be like a body feeling, like, oh, my hands are tingling, I don't know why, or, oh, suddenly I'm sweating. Like, so that kind of a feeling is extremely helpful. But I did used to worry about, like, well, what does it mean? Like, what does it mean that I have an A-bomb that's blowing up Boston Harbor, which is one of my childhood dreams that I had about age 10? Like, what does it mean that this is being blown up in my life? But now I just go into that dream and I remember the sadness that I was standing on a boat. I was a little girl in the dream, probably even younger than 10 in the dream. And I was holding on to the leg of my father and watching this mushroom cloud over Boston at night. And just feeling that profound sadness of like holding on to my father's leg and the support of my father, but also the sadness that this is all changing, that this is all is blowing up. So that for me, then the sadness is what is really transformative about working with that dream. Whereas, why Boston? Why the harbor? Why at night? It's kind of more of an intellectual question. And I find like also with my clients, that just going to the moment of the feeling. It sounds simple and it is, but it's extremely difficult to do on our own because
yes.
we want to jump over that moment. Like the bear dream. Like maybe you saw a bear and the bear, you and I locked eyes for a moment and then you ran away again. But I will like go to the moment when you lock eyes with the bear and say, well, what is that moment? Because when you run away, you're probably running away from something that's important or scary or joyful or something that's just deeper than you think you can go. And in the dream session, I'll invite you to just take another minute there and take a breath. And for people working with their own dreams, that's what I would recommend. Go to a place when you find yourself running away, go back to the right before you ran away and just feel into that for just another minute. Like what was there for you that was opening up that caused you to run away? Maybe it's like something helpful.
Well,
does that
and
make
are
sense?
You are yes, it does make sense. Everything
yeah.
you say makes sense. Are you moving
okay.
by the way? Are you moving around or your signal?
Oh, I'm sorry, is my chair creaking?
No, your connection is being choppy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Choppy. Well, that's all right. Don't be too sorry.
Okay, well, hopefully you can hear me well enough.
How does it feel? I'm teasing.
It feels great, you know, because, you know, in this conversation, like right before the choppy thing came up, we were talking about a pretty profound moment. And so I would like, you know, invite you to go to the moment, like right before the creakiness got too intense or the distraction and like it's kind of like a waking life if this were a dream moment
mm-hmm,
and like
mm-hmm.
well what was going on there was that like really an intense moment to be talking about
yeah that's probably just a signal thing but so I want to remind folks that they can go to festivalofdreams.net. Tickets are $25 in advance and $35 at the door. And
right.
You have six interactive workshops, which I'll just mention the titles. There's Lucid Dreaming, Dreaming Wide Awake, Introduction to Tibetan Dream Yoga, Unlocking Doors with Dream Theater, The Embodied Dream, A Jungian Approach, Capturing Your Night Songs, Making Satisfying Dream Art, and Forming a Dream Group. And it would be interesting for people who maybe are feeling themselves a little bit on the fence about what to do. Would I be able to go to a dream group? Am I able to do that? To maybe just do what you would probably like people to do, which is explore by going to the festival, get information, get more involved, and find out about some of the local players as well that you may feel comfortable doing a session with. To see
right.
if it's something more to inform. It's a beautiful mm-hmm. website, by the way. So all the 50
Thank
hours.
Thank you. I built it myself. I'm learning WordPress from scratch. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
I also want to add that we're having a dream expert panel discussion called Different Approaches to Understanding Dreams. And that will be led by four local dream work practitioners about different ways of working with dreams. We're going to have question and answer period after that. We have raffle prizes. We're selling T-shirts this year, and we have some really great raffle prizes this year. We have a night at the Dream Inn, and we have a $200 sleep tracker, which is this device you can put under your mattress that records your sleep and tells you when you're dreaming and how long you slept. So we have some fabulous raffle prizes. And I also want to for sure mention our keynote speaker, Dr. Gail Delaney, who is going to speak about dreams and your love life. And she's talking about not just your romantic love life, but just all the love and relationships in your life and how dreams can help you illuminate that. She's a dynamic speaker. She's had many, many TV interviews, about 7 books. And I think she's going to be dynamite. So it's going to be an amazing day.
Well, it looks like certainly whatever efforts and energy you've put into it so far, it has paid off. I think it appears to be a well thought out, fabulous event. It has a lot to offer people who may have questions about what dream work is like or what type of dream work that they would be interested in. So congratulations. Let yourself get patted on the back, although you probably won't breathe until the 12th.
Thank you. That's true. I appreciate that, Salazar. Yeah, I'm super excited. We have a Facebook event page. You can look for Festival Dreams Santa Cruz, and I'm putting out announcements almost every day now about new developments, like the schedule when that comes up, and our list of practitioners. So if you go to the Facebook page, that's one of the best ways to stay in touch with the festival.
All right, excellent. So I want to remind folks that they could go to the guest page of goodvibrationsradio.com directly to get over to festivalofdreams.net, and also to connect to Experiential Dream Work, which is Dr. Bell's individual personal site, for those who are more interested in exploring more about her. And so anything else that you would really like to stress or bring out to the people? It's been very informative so far, but if anything you want to re-bring up or mention again.
I guess I just I'm caught by we were going to we had our keynote speaker was originally scheduled to be Jeremy Taylor, and many of your listeners might know him. He was a beloved dream expert who really founded the whole concept of dream groups about 30-40 years ago. He published a few books about dream groups, and he's inspired hundreds, if not probably thousands, of people to be more in tune with their dreams. So he was scheduled to be our keynote speaker, but sadly, January 3rd, he passed away. So we changed to Dr. Gail Delaney, and we're going to have a brief memorial for Jeremy Taylor because he has been so influential in this work. So we're going to start off with that'll be kind of our grounding to get everybody together with this memorial with Jeremy Taylor. We'll go right into the panel and then the workshops, and we'll end with Dr. Gail Delaney as our keynote.
And we want to let folks know it's from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Sunday, March 11th. So it's
right at Loudoun Nelson Community Center in Santa Cruz.
Yeah. And so go ahead and go to festivalofdreams.net. Go ahead and sign up, get your tickets, explore, find out more about it, and find out about the DreamWorks. So, Catherine, I want to thank you for taking the time, one, for putting this together, and two, for taking the time to discuss it with us here today. It's really, truly one of my pleasures to be able to talk with you.
Thank you, Salazar. It is always a pleasure to talk to you, and best wishes on your endeavors as well.
So we want to thank you so much, and we want to thank everybody for listening to Dr. Catherine Bell and the Festival of Dreams Santa Cruz. Go to festivalofdreams.net. Go ahead and get your tickets in advance. They're only $25, $35 at the door. It's March 11th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m., and you can also go to the Festival of Dreams Facebook page. I want to remind everyone that on Friday, December 29th, we held an online quarterly preview with myself, Joyce DeMuse, and Kira Lani. It wasn't a physical one. We shared the energy of 2018 as well as the detail about the months of January, February, and March. At that time, I drew the King of Water from the Osho Zen Tarot deck as the transition to 2018. And the primary message of that card is to let your wounds rise to the surface and heal. You can no longer hide from yourself. I think that ties very much into the Festival of Dreams, by the way, where if you're going to heal yourself, you need to know yourself. And you need to know what you're telling yourself and understand what it means to you, what all you're experiencing means. So that's a very important word. And the card for 2018 is Roman numeral 10, which is the card of change. It shows a revolving wheel with the symbols of the zodiac, the eight trigrams of the I Ching, the four seasons, and the yin-yang symbol. And it reminds us that life is about constant change. It's the one constant in life is change. And the constant change is based on repeating patterns. Everything is about a cycle, and cycles keep coming back around. They may not look exactly the same, but when we learn to see them for what they are, we get to see the repetition of the cycle. So once you see the evolving patterns, you can move toward the center and not be troubled by the turmoil of the outer edges of the wheel of the change itself. Remain open to the evolving abundance of this year. This year is meant to bring us all gifts. What we do with them will make a difference to what our outcome will be. Now, the card for March is the Nine of Rainbows, which shows apples ripe on the tree, and it's labeled as ripeness. And it says, that be ready to release your riches to the world. You are ready. You are ripe. This is both a time of material gain for people and a considerable increase in personal fortune. But remember, it's a lot like the dream work that Dr. Bell was talking about. Your personal fortune is not necessarily measured within your bank account. It's measured on what brings you that feeling of success and happiness and connection to your true purpose in the world. Your personal fortune is what brings you joy, what you allow yourself to feel that joy and happiness over. So when we're thinking of this month of March as the Self-Truth and Spiritual Truth Month, and we know that the Nine of Rainbows is saying, you're ripe, bring your riches out to the world, I'm not telling you to send all your money to some particular political party or some cause. What I'm telling you is to shine your light, giving your gifts and connecting in the world as best you can from where you are right now. And that will bring you greater satisfaction, greater health, and greater fortune. Now, on Thursday, March 1st, we have a full moon in Virgo at 4:51 p.m. Pacific time. And this push is to create heaven on earth. And heaven on earth is just like how you feel about your dream. It's individual to you. It's not what heaven on earth is for me. It's not what heaven on earth is for your neighbor, your partner, your friends, your lovers, whatever. It's what's heaven on earth for you. So the energy of March 1st is also a portal of new beginnings in a time when new life will begin. So this month we're heading into is going to be a month of the opportunity to reframe what's in your life right now and have a new approach. And that carries forward the energy from the February 15th solar eclipse new moon in Aquarius, which was the push to move you forward into the new journey of your life. So it's not merely the launch of a new moon phase by starting with a full moon. We'll have another one on March 31st. But it's really an exciting move forward in the new journey of your life, as long as you clear your intentions, clear your thoughts, and focus on the direction where you want to head. What was it that James Allen told us? Do you remember, or have we lost it? But persistence grows your root system. So make sure that you're carrying that focus on your intentions. Think back over the past 6 months. How have you come to peace with your truly unique you? How has your understanding of yourself grown? What have you embraced more fully? What characteristics, activities, talents have you come to appreciate and allowed to come out? So the upheaval of the past 8 years, some of it brought on by the Uranus-Pluto square, plus Uranus's residence in Aries, is shifting. Uranus is in the final degrees of Aries and will move into Taurus fully on May 15th. So it's coming out of those last ebbing flows of Aries. We're going to have relationship shifts, that the ones that have been brewing, they're going to occur. The expected will disappear. The unexpected will occur. Situations that have been stalled will suddenly breathe new life. Rely on your intuition when you need to know which direction to take. It's important to remain discerning, carefully choosing who needs your help and where your energies are most effectively placed. And I actually personally believe that for many of you, going to the Festival of Dreams would be a good way to allow yourself to experience more information that will help you become more in tune with your own inner self and higher guidance. This is the year of the brown earth dog. It's going to be quieter than last year's year of the rooster. Loyalty, honesty, and prudent action is rewarded this year. So it's a time to be watchful, not take quick action. Be cautious with your money. Avoid too much worry, since everything will turn out fine. And where things are done, they'll be done in the most efficient manner. So it's a time to catch your breath. It will be a slower, more cautious year than last year. And as we close, I want to once again share the anonymous poem from Empower Astrology. In the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. No matter how hard the world pushes against you, within you there's something stronger, something better pushing right back. And whatever you give, do so from your heart. I mentioned earlier the daily practice of affirmations and prayers. I want to share a few of those with you right now. The gratitude affirmation is very simple. It's thank you for everything. I have no complaints whatsoever. Choose to express from love in all of your encounters by saying, I live and practice loving kindness in all situations. Accept yourself fully. I accept and love myself unconditionally. And open yourself fully to love using this affirmation, I surrender all to love. Express and heal yourself by doing Ho'oponopono. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. You are not the victim. You have a choice. For all of you listening this week, your life will begin to shift so you can move forward in the direction of the life you've wanted to create for yourself. Thank you for listening to Good Vibrations Radio. We'll be back next Monday, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, March 5th at 5 to 6 p.m. Kirilani will be doing her Go With The Flow of the Vibrational Energy of the Month. If you have any questions or missed any elements, send me an email at solazar@gmail.com. That's solazar@gmail.com. Many blessings. Remember to turn the lead in your life into gold. Namaste.